Welcome to Off the Clock, a podcast by Procino Wells and Woodland, where we take a team-centered, family-focused approach to serving the estate planning and elder law needs of our community on the Eastern Shore. I'm Megan Saksinski, Client Services Director here at the firm, and I'm joined today by Stacy Himmler of Caring Transitions. We are excited to discuss stuff. Let's jump right in.
Excellent. Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for being here. So that S word, the big stuff word, we all have stuff. We all have a lot of stuff, even those of us that think that we don't really. You know, you look around and all of a sudden it's easy to sit back and think, gosh, I have a lot. And there are days that we can enjoy our stuff and it's not a burden. And there are other times that we approach lifetime milestones like moving. And all of a sudden, our stuff is weighing us down. So Stacy Himmler, owner of Caring Transitions, is going to talk to us about our material belongings and how her team can help. So I think an introduction is always the best place to start. No better person than you to introduce yourself. So I'm going to, quote unquote, hand the microphone to you and let you kick us off that way.
Great. Well, Caring Transitions is the nation's largest provider of downsizing, relocation, and liquidation services, including online estate sales. We are locally owned and operated. We help our clients get through the stress of moving and downsizing by helping them decide what to take based on their new space plan, sorting and organizing, packing and unpacking, and managing all the logistics of the move. We also help our clients liquidate their unwanted household goods through online auctions. These auctions help to offset the costs of other services that we offer, such as relocation. We are also a trusted source. Our employees are not just compassionate and dedicated, which they are. They are background checked and insured. We are also offer a free one-hour consultation to see if our services are a good match for our potential clients' needs.
That's amazing. And so there's usually a backstory for a business owner, and I'd love to ask you about yours. What led you to establish this business?
Sure. I lost my mom about 5.5 years ago, and I spent a lot of time working with my dad to go through her stuff and trying to find homes for the things that she loved. I did a lot of research looking for charities and places to maybe sell things, and I ended up donating a lot of it. I realized that there had to be a better way, a more streamlined way for seniors and families to go through this process. So I found Caring Transitions and founded Caring Transitions of Southern Delaware.
So that in itself is a great example. But if you would, I'd love for you to describe the experience of the average aging adult. Because it's easy if you're not in that moment of your life that you need services like these to think, that won't be a problem for me. None of that will be burdensome. But I think in reality, downsizing or moving in with a caregiver family member or moving into a facility brings up a lot of things like stressed feelings or a feeling of being overwhelmed, a feeling of being really unsure of who to call and what the local resources even are. Maybe also thinking about how they haven't done this in such a long time. Maybe for some of these folks, it was moving into a family home as they were building their young families. That's been the last time they've done this. So if you would, just describe what that average experience is like for our listeners.
Well, I would definitely tell you there's no typical or average client. Everyone is different, but they do fall into different groups. Mm-hmm. There's the clients who are itching to downsize and itching to go to their new homes. They have already made that emotional leap to downsize. They've started to unload and minimize their belongings amongst their friends and their family. They've taken the donations to the thrift store, and they call us because they need a little extra help with the packing and the resettlement. Mm-hmm. I would say that's not that typical. Then there's the client who has to move, either because the family is concerned because they were visiting, or a trigger event like a fall. In this case, the level of support they need is much greater. We do space plans for them for moving into independent or assisted living or even memory care and help them see what furniture is going to fit. We help them visualize what the hanging space is going to look like in their closets, how much cabinet space they're going to have in the kitchen. The process of letting go of what they don't need is more stressful. but we are compassionately working with them to help them find those compromises. Then there's the widow or widower who hasn't moved in 40 to 50 years, the ones that had started their family when they were young and they've been in the same house. They recently lost their spouse and they are completely overwhelmed with the process and grief and going through that whole process. They typically cannot physically do the work, and then we come in and work as a caring team to help move them forward. We also see families of loved ones who have passed away, and they need help emptying the house. They don't live locally, and they come in and they're just overwhelmed by what they see, because it's an overwhelming and emotional task of letting go of the things that they've seen that their parents have had, of all the things in the house that have memories for them, and we come in and help them through that process.
Mm-hmm. So with those examples provided, clients have a couple options, and one of which is to take care of the moving process themselves. And I'd love for you to paint a picture of everything that's involved in a move, even if we just pick an example or a few, because I think people are well into the weeds of the moving process before they actually realize everything that's involved.
Sure. Moving is stressful. It doesn't matter how old you are. Moving is stressful, and it's even more stressful the older you get. Moving takes planning and managing logistics. It's easy to get caught up in the weeds of packing and the nostalgia of going through everything you own. Mm-hmm. It's best to plan as far ahead as possible to allow the time to go through the memories, the paperwork, and tell the kids they need to come and get their fifth grade artwork or pick up that hope chest that they want. We work backwards from the move date and coordinate with the movers, which typically book out 3 to 4 weeks. If the client wants to save money and do some of the packing, we suggest they pack the non-fragile items and leave us to do the fragile items. We give them homework to go through paperwork, books, clothing, kitchen items that are rarely used. Once we start packing, we bring in the boxes, the tape, the paper, the bubble wrap. We can get a typical house packed in a matter of days. We will also take care of what's left, such as donations that need to go out of the house. That are not going to the new house. And we are also taking care of the household hazards, the paints, the other recyclables, and take them to Delaware Solid Waste Authority, otherwise known as the dump. We also take care of move day, which is the most stressful day for our clients. And we take care of the last minute packing, like the coffee pot, some toiletries, whatever is needed. And we make sure the movers get tipped. We make sure the community knows that we're coming. We also take care of resettlement if it's a local move. We do all the unpacking in the kitchen. We arrange the items in the cabinets where the client wants them or where it makes the most sense. We hang the clothes in the closet or place them in the drawers. We make the bed and hang the pictures so the space feels like home immediately. We also take away all the moving materials and recycle or reuse them.
So that in itself is interesting to me, the resettlement process. I think that's such a key benefit to all of this. If we switch gears and talk a little bit about estate sales, that seems like another area where folks, you know, one of the options is to do that themselves. It might start with a yard sale and might transition, you know, into future sales or bigger sales, but that seems like a big chore to try to accomplish yourself. I wonder if you can talk about what that might look like.
Sure. We actually had a potential client who held their own estate sale, and it took them months to get it done. And when I went to meet with them for what was left over, they wished they had come to me earlier. Estate sales require a lot of resources to arrange the items, to make it look like a retail space, to price the items. How do you know what something's really worth? And having a point of sale checkout area and handling the people. Besides that, you're making your address public and then you're having people traipse through your house. It's bigger than holding a yard sale and it requires a lot of manpower to ensure safety and security. We typically don't do estate sales. We actually do the online auctions because they are safer. We have a big draw for them and it's a lot easier and we know that the market will drive the price and that there won't be those mistakes of trying to price something and then maybe not have gotten what you think you could have gotten for it.
And I think we're going to get time to dig into that element of your business today. But I just think about your company being national. And so not only all the benefits that you just named, but the national audience, that it doesn't, you know, it's not just the local community that you're pulling from to accomplish the sale, but you really have access to anyone in the nation that's, you know, following your website.
That's correct.
That's fun. So I was scrolling through Facebook Marketplace recently, and I passed by a listing for a small solid wood dining room table, and it was being sold for $800. And I thought of you, because it seems common that we, as humans, you know, we all do this. We value our own belongings at a higher price than maybe someone else would. And I wondered if it would make sense for you to speak to that misconception and how you address that when you're educating your clients.
Sure. Furniture is hard to sell. I will tell you that, especially if it's one of the four here. It's big, it's brown, it's heavy, and it's dated. So the Queen Anne style dining rooms, which I see all the time, is not what people are looking for right now. Mm-hmm. Even though you may have paid hundreds or thousands of dollars for it 30 or 40 years ago. At the end of the day, that's not what people are looking for. And items are only worth what someone or the market is willing to pay for them. Mm-hmm. And I always recommend, if my clients are trying to sell furniture and get a higher value than we think is really reasonable, I send them to Facebook Marketplace and have them try to sell it themselves. But a lot of people are just not really comfortable with that option. They can certainly donate it, and that's fine. But in general, if people are putting things on Facebook Marketplace and they're not getting any bites within the first couple of days, then that price is too high. They're not going to get it later. So my recommendation is drop your price until you start getting people who are interested, and that will tell you what the market will bear. It is unfortunate that we see a lot of beautifully made solid wood tables, all kinds of furniture that just doesn't sell well.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like getting advice from your mom. You know, there are certain times in your, especially young adult life maybe, where you get advice from your mom and you just kind of think, oh,
what does she know?
Right. And by, you know, someone else introducing the same advice, you hear it differently, you take it in differently, you experience it differently. So that's smart of you to, you know, introduce that avenue where they can just learn about what the market would actually support. Let's discuss valuing our stuff and how we get there. How do we actually put a price tag on our stuff? What professionals might get involved? I'm sure you can educate us in that area.
Sure. People think they will get the price of something that they think it's worth. Mm-hmm. They may place a reserve or a minimum on an item. I've never seen a reserve met. We recently had a piece of art that had a reserve of several thousand dollars on it, mm-hmm. and the bidding never got anywhere close to that. We also recommend, if people feel that something is worth a lot of money, to go talk to an antique dealer, mm-hmm. if it is an older piece of furniture. And then they also think their kids want their stuff. And that frequently is just not the case, especially if they're younger folks. Finding that one buyer who wants the item is not always easy, especially outside a major metropolitan area. When we sell online, we pull buyers from 2 to 3 hours away. And many are resellers, and they know the true worth of these items. They're willing to resell it on eBay and wait for it to sell to drop the price as it's needed. At the end of the day, again, things are only worth what someone is willing to pay for them. The value that's associated with items may also be dated. People will tell me they've seen things on Antiques Roadshow. They'll tell me what they think it's, how much the price of it new is going to be. And then, you know, what they think the demand of that item is going to be. Mm-hmm. It's also based on memories and utility. We have many memories associated with pieces of furniture, and they think that, you know, someone will value that for their family. And it's very hard to have that conversation with clients mm-hmm. regarding that type of situation. This is never the case. Yeah. And this perception can really delay the process of people, of our clients, moving forward mm-hmm. Into their new residence. We help educate our clients on what we sell, but not how much it will sell for, because the market value, the market changes mm-hmm. constantly.
Mm-hmm. It makes perfect sense. It makes me think about a crib that's still in my husband's family. Why do we have that? It's value aside, you know, the safety measures are outdated, and but has memories, you know, woven through the crib. And so everything that you're saying makes perfect sense and makes a really great argument for having a professional on board that can educate and kind of counsel through the process.
I've been through it personally. When my parents passed away and we had to clear out the house, the dining room table was the hardest thing for me to let go of, because all of the celebrations and our family were around that table. Mm-hmm. And we actually hired Caring Transitions locally in Pennsylvania to liquidate mm-hmm. because there was no way I could let that table go out the door. Mm-hmm. And I don't care how much it went for. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't emotionally deal with it.
Mm-hmm. That brings me to clients potentially undervaluing their belongings. And I wonder if that happens too. Does the reverse happen?
On occasion, they may have put something in the donation pile that we go through before it goes out to see if there's any value in there, and we pull things out. For example, we auctioned 4 Sears and Roebuck mushroom canisters that were on their way to the thrift store. The set went for over $150.
Wow.
Because it's collectible. Mm-hmm. So we frequently will check the donation pile and see if there's any maker's marks. We'll do some quick research to see if something should be salvaged. And then we draw on our experience for what we've sold in the past and what might make some money for the client.
Mm-hmm. We teased a moment ago to the online auctions. I myself have been on this website and spent, you know, a little bit of time getting sucked into the fun of that. But I'd love for you to discuss that element of your website for our listeners, and maybe we have some listeners who would enjoy the same.
Sure. So Caring Transitions, we have our own auction site called CT Bids. That's C as in cat, T as in Tom, BIDS.com. After we've sorted through the thrift and the trash from the treasure, we group or lot, it's called, like items together that may bring more money for the client. We log the items in the app and we take photographs of every angle of the item and measure it and look for the maker's marks and make sure that we're taking a good photo so that the buyers know what the item really is, since they're not going to physically see it. All of our auction lots start at $1. And the market drives the price. Remember, mm-hmm. items are only worth what someone's willing to pay for them. Online auctions offer a better option than estate sales. As you alluded, we can market it nationally. We market it through our bidding list, people who have purchased from us in the past or bid on items in the past, and through estate sale organizations. You won't have people traipsing through your house. You won't have your address be public except for pickup day, and only the winning bidders get that information. It's also more cost effective to run the online auctions, as estate sales tend to require about double the manpower to set up and run them. So that's less money in our clients' pockets. Mm-hmm. And then we can ship any small items nationally and the buyers pay for that. Mm-hmm. So auctions run for about 7 to 10 days. We market them through multiple means. And then 3 days or so after the auction closes, we have pickup and all this happens in the client's house. And then we do a final clean out. Whatever is left, whatever didn't sell, goes to donation. And we know on a particular date, a few days after the auction closes, that the house is going to be empty. So it's faster than selling on Facebook Marketplace or eBay, where you have to wait to see when you're going to get your buyers and how long you're going to hold on to something. This way, we know the house is going to be empty, the client can move forward, and we're done.
That very clear outline and timeline seems like an incredible benefit. Stacy, this service that you're offering is probably most often used when your client has passed away and their family or their loved ones are cleaning out their home or wrapping up their affairs. So if you'd like to tell our listeners more about that area of your business, we'd love to hear it.
Sure. We frequently work with families, many of whom live out of state, that just need to get the house emptied and get an accounting of what has sold. So we'll go in and do a clean out. We'll go in and do an auction. And when the auction closes, we do give them a list of what sold and how much things were sold for, so they have an inventory for the estate. we frequently work with families and have them go through what they're looking for, what they want to keep. They frequently ask us to look for certain things that might have disappeared over the years. Mm-hmm. We find money in different places, stashed in books, in coat pockets. We find jewelry. We found money in a shoe one time. But we'll go through, and if we find personal items for a client, we put them aside for them, because pictures and things like that may have fallen behind the sofa or something like that. But we help them through the process of getting the house emptied and getting it cleaned out, because it is a very difficult process and dealing with all the memories and everything. So usually we go in after the family has made the decisions of what they want to keep, or they've taken out the items that they want to go through, such as paperwork or that kind of thing. And we'll get the house cleaned out for them, do the auction, and that way they can all move on as part of their grieving process. Mm-hmm.
Such a helpful service. So to lighten, you know, those thoughts just a little bit, I wonder if there's a favorite story maybe of something that you have found or uncovered in a client's home, maybe something that brought a smile to your face or brought a smile to the family's face.
We frequently will find things that they're looking for. They'll say, oh, we're looking for a signet ring, or we're looking for someone's a photograph or someone's dog tags or something like that. So we frequently find that. One time we found almost like a false bottom in a drawer, and there was $10,000 in there.
Wow.
That the client had no idea was there. So it just happened that we were cleaning it out and it was loose. So we were able to find that and get that to the client. But, you know, we frequently will turn over photographs to the clients, and they're always grateful to see what might have been missing.
Mm-hmm. People are just interesting all the way around. You know, we all have stories and backgrounds and histories, and I imagine that there are some just fun moments for your team as you're supporting families that way, and what you uncover and get to see, and that you never necessarily thought you would get to see in your lifetime.
Definitely that. And our clients are quite interesting because they've lived long and full lives.
Right.
In many cases. And, you know, we deal with a lot of older adults in their 90s or even in their hundreds. And just to listen to them tell their stories and ask, you know, what kind of work did you do? And we get a lot of folks that worked at NASA Goddard or had been in the military. And it's just fun to hear their stories, and they're happy to be heard.
Mm-hmm. Really fun. So Caring Transitions, you know, a local resource for downsizing, for relocating, for cleaning out a home and selling the contents of the home. So please, you know, to our listeners, we'll just make a plea that you keep this introduction to this local resource in mind, share with friends, and just keep tucked away for the possibility of needing in the future. I want to be sure, Stacy, that our listeners can get more information. So if you'd like to leave all of your contact details, we'd love to hear them.
Sure. You can visit our website, which is caringtransitionssoutherndelaware.com, or you can just Google Caring Transitions Southern Delaware and it'll come up. You can call us at 302-648-5552 to schedule a free in-home consultation, or if you just have a question, we're happy to answer that. You can also visit our CTBIDS website. It's ctbids.com if you're interested in our auctions.
Really fun to get on the auction website.
It is. It's addicting.
It is, yes. Well, thank you again for being here and being a guest on Off the Clock.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being with us today on Off the Clock. If you'd like to learn more about us, visit our website at pwwlaw.com. Of course, you can contact us directly by calling 302-628-4140 or emailing info@pwwlaw.com. We're here to help you plan today to protect your families tomorrow. See you next time. Anything discussed on Off the Clock is for general informational purposes only and is not intended to create an attorney-client relationship. To obtain the most reliable guidance, listeners are encouraged to seek personalized advice from qualified professionals.